5
4
3 2
1 Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. Yes, this is the technology show. Believe it or not, it is a technology show. Some may argue, but it actually is. And I am Stephen Scott. Hello. Sean Preece is here with me again. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen Scott.
And Tim Schwartz is back with me again. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Hey, Sean.
Yes, so this is a technology show for blind and partially sighted people, honest. You know, I say that because I had a comment this week from a listener who said, that's really interesting, Stephen, because, you know, you seem to have so much banter between yourselves. You don't have room for technology news. So what kind of tech show are you? I think that was actually the boss. but yeah, anyway. We are here with another hour of technology news, and we're very excited because there's so much to talk about. As always, we're talking about the iPhone X. Android users can now snore, and we will be looking forward to talking about that. Although, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to start the show off with some shock news.
Go.
I wouldn't buy this thing if it was bought for me.
Oh, wow. Get out of town. I've totally changed my mind. It sounds fantastic. Tick.
No, you see, you're falling in the same pattern as everybody else. You're all sheep. That's who you are. You're all sheep. Little buying sheep. No, I wouldn't buy it.
Bah.
No, I wouldn't buy this, thank you. I'll tell you why, because the price puts me off, first and foremost. And, you know, I don't care how many times Tim Cook tells us that, you know, it's just the same as buying a cup of coffee every day. Well, no, it's not really, because when I don't buy my cup of coffee on contract. I just buy it when I want a cup of coffee.
Okay, calm down. We'll get to this later on. This is still the intro, don't forget.
Yeah, all right.
Sounds like you need a cup of coffee about now.
Yeah, do you know, I think that might be a really good point, Tim. right, so we've got the news. Tim's got the news, actually, this week. What have you got?
Well, Stephen, this week we're going to talk about the new updates to iOS and iOS 11.1 and find out what it did and maybe did not fix. We're also going to talk about the newly released Victor Reader Trek from Humanware. And we're going to talk more about that iPhone X and what we do and do not like about it.
Yeah, price and other things. I'm just annoyed at the prospect of buying a phone at £1,000. And I don't know, it just seems to me it's annoying me even more this week than it was last week. I don't know why.
Jelly.
And it's not jealousy. Don't even go there, guys. It's not jealousy, right? It's not jealousy. Right, anyway, aside all that, we've also... I do fancy some jelly. That I do like the sound yes. of. But as far as I know, that doesn't cost £1,000. Right, so we've also got Potter's Picks on the way. Claire is back with us once again. And we've got your emails, your comments. We've kept the nice ones out. We threw the rest away. I'm kidding. But we kick things off with... I just feel I'm doing this every week now. I'm starting off with something else I've bought, which makes me sound like I'm some kind of millionaire. Well, I'm not, right? But here's what I bought. I bought myself some of these new smart lights from IKEA.
Oh, how do you pronounce them, first off? That's the most important thing. What are they called?
I have no idea. Tradfri. Oh. That's what I'm going for. I don't know why I do it in a Scottish
that
accent.
That was perfect.
Tradfri. But I'm not Swedish on any level, so I cannot. So I apologise to the Swedish people for my pronunciation of this. But yeah, Tradfri. sounds like some kind of actor from
Doctor Who.
Yeah. But anyway, these are.
It's the Tradfri.
It's the Tradfri. Yeah. Yeah. These are lights that you buy, not just everyday bulbs, but when you put them into the socket, you can connect them. You can use them as normal bulbs if you want. But you can connect various things to them. In particular, they connect to what's called a gateway. So when you buy them, you can buy, in addition to the bulbs, you can buy what's called a gateway, which is a little box that connects to your router. And then what that means is that you can then connect the lights to that gateway so you can control them. And to control them, you have to buy this little cylindrical device called a remote, which is actually nothing like the standard remote you would imagine. It's very small. You can have it stuck to the wall if you want, like in the olden days when you actually switched lights on and off. But this thing you can actually just carry around in your pocket. It's a really nice device. Fits beautifully in the palm of your hand. And I like IKEA for this because what they've done is they put a little bump at the bottom of the power button, which is the center button. And above that and below that you have the dim controls, so you can dim the lights. And left and right of that there's what's called scene change buttons. Now I'll explain all that as we go, but I got these because I am having real issues with light at the moment, and I go through phases, even through the course of an hour, where I need to just dim the lights. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys get this?
No, I'm quite the opposite. I'm always turning the lights on, and my girlfriend's going around turning all the lights off. It's a constant battle between good and evil, but I like the lights blaring, being a night blindness RP guy.
You know, it used to be an issue for me when I had more light perception. It was that constant game, like Sean said, about turning one off and on, and I actually was the opposite. I didn't want a lot of light because it would bother my eyes, but nowadays I don't really notice light unless it's extraordinarily bright sunlight. Otherwise, I don't notice them if they're on or not. So it doesn't matter to me.
So what's interesting about this for me is, and I hear this a lot from RNIB, is, you know, get good lighting in your home. And that's so important to have good lighting. And you kind of don't realize it. It sounds like one of those things that you hear and you go, yeah, I'll get to it at some point. Who cares? And then you fall over a box in the hall and you think, oh, I really must sort this light out. Because, of course, in the olden days, 5 years ago, when we had 40-watt bulbs in our house, you could barely see. It was like this orange glow that would hang from your living room, center of your living room, yes, or in the hall or whatever. Thankfully, those days are long gone. You can get really bright bulbs, but the most important thing is that you can get them, and they are far more environmentally friendly, but they're also more friendly to your wallet. And anyone who knows me well enough will know that's a very important consideration in anything I do.
Well, of course, look, lighting's important. In my case, it would be nice to be able to dim the lights, you know, in certain situations. I do need a little bit of light, whereas my girlfriend doesn't want any light at all. So being able to dim them and play around with them in that aspect is fantastic. And smart lights seem just really good idea for anything like this, particularly with voice assistants now, like the Amazon and the Google, and HomeKit in iOS. So the upcoming HomePod is going to be another thing. Being able to control your lights there and being able to control them when you're away from the home and schedule, it just seems like a really good idea. But the price has always been an issue.
Well, it has, yeah.
Philips Hue, for example, were the ones that everyone goes to.
Yep.
But a starter kit for them, when I last looked, was like £199 for a couple of bulbs and a gateway. So that's too much.
So just so people understand what it is we're actually talking about here, because when you say smart lights to people, I don't know what they expect the lights to be able to do, but, you know, cook your dinner isn't one of the options. basically, these lights are, in IKEA's case anyway, some might say they are the most basic smart lights you can get. Now, that's slightly reflected in the price as well. But what I'd say is that, yes, they are fairly simple lights. I mean, all they do, really, is you can turn them on and off, you can dim them, and you can change the what they call the scenes. Now, what that means is that if you know the difference between cool white and warm white, different bulbs you might get for your house, you can buy these anywhere. You'll have what's maybe called a warm white for your hall, say, or for your bathroom. You might have, just that nice, I'd say more yellow light. Whereas if you're in a kitchen, you might prefer something a bit cooler than that, which means you get a much more bright white light. And that is the difference, the cool and the warm lights, that's what they call them. Now, with the IKEA bulbs, what you can do is you can actually have these lights set to different temperatures with the same bulb, and that is incredible. Because what it means is you can have a room, as I do, I have my Tech Talk studio here, with all my gubbins, and then over in the corner, I've got my television and my man chair, where I put myself, when my wife goes away for the odd evening, I plant myself there with, you know, my little fridge and my little television, and it's all wonderful in the world. Now, the thing is, I don't want my cool white light to be used at that point, because I'm kind of chilling out a bit, and I don't want the lights to be as bright because I'm watching television. So I can change the scene, I can change the mood of the lighting, and I can dim them down as well. And that is incredible. Now, as I say, I got these because primarily I wanted to be able to just dim the lights when I was working. So when I'm doing the show as I am today with you guys, I'm sitting here and I've dimmed the lights right down, and it's just so much easier for me to see. I say that, mind you, I've got two big monitors staring at me as well, which doesn't help, but you can't have it all.
Yes.
But, you know, you can dim those screens as well and actually make it quite comfortable. And, you know, just that way of being able to do that without having to put in, you know, because I'd have to get an electrician in to put a dimmer switch in. And I know it's not the most complicated thing in the world, but it's this way, it seems to me you've got far more control, and far more options than you might have with your standard bulbs.
No, I totally agree. Exactly. And, you know, I always wanted to put dimmer switches in, but you've got to get someone in to do it, and it's all that work. No, forget it. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, lighting is really important. But another thing for me, I've been looking at these since you got them, Stephen. Obviously, I'm jealous, and I wanted some. But look, I'm moving house soon, hopefully. It seems to be going on for years, but I am moving house. Now, the new house is in a row of identical-looking houses, so I'm going to struggle to find this house. So what I'm thinking is I put a smart light in the porch there, and as I'm coming in, I ask our Amazon friend to turn the light on. Bang, I've got a landing light. I'm aiming towards that like a moth. It's guiding me home. See, look, there's just so many uses for this, and being able to turn lights on and off and know they're off. When you're away from the house, set a schedule. I think the actual idea of them is fantastic. Again, the price was always an issue, but with these new IKEA lights, what are we talking? Around £12 for a basic bulb? Of course, there's colour-changing bulbs as well, which we haven't got into. Being able to change the colour of lights, I'm not quite sure how useful that is, but it does sound interesting.
I mean, look, I'll come to the prices in a moment, but, you know, I think we should just maybe explain a bit about the scheduling side of it, because I think a lot of people might wonder what that means. So, once you've connected the lights, and actually, I have to tell you, the setup process was a lot easier than I thought it would be. The IKEA app is accessible, which is fantastic. I used it on the iPhone. There's a shock. And it was accessible. There were some points along the way of the setup process that it just would not respond, and there were certain portions of the setup process I just couldn't do on my own. That was a little bit disappointing. So when you were navigating through, what would happen is you would go through screen to screen. It would say, right, okay, you need to plug the bulb in, and then you need to turn the light switch on, and it would explain all that to you, and then it would tell you what you had to do to pair the lights to the gateway. And basically what it involves, and I would say this is I take a little bit of my life in my hands with this one, you know, I had to get up on a ladder to hold the remote control within 2 inches of the bulb. I did one bulb and then thought I was going to die, so I said, I'm not doing that again. So I had to get someone else in to finish that part off. So that was a little bit annoying. Although in saying that, that is how it works, because the remote control has to get close enough to it so it can see it. But then you have to be careful, because if you were to stand in the room and do it, you would end up activating all the bulbs. You have to do them one at a time. So you have to get close enough to one bulb so it can only see one bulb. So anyway, that process was a little bit convoluted. Some of the app setup wasn't as accessible as I would like. But once it was set up, once it was all running, it was one of those things that, you know, when you actually switch it on and you get it going, you think, okay, that works. Hang on, it actually works. And that was okay. The little remote control was doing its thing. And then I was able to go into the app and muck around with the settings and change the light scenes and all of that. And that was great fun. But you're right, you can do scheduled sets as well. So, for example, if I'm coming home, I can make sure the lights are turned on for me coming in. Now, the lights are only in my little office, in my studio at the moment. Because what I've done is I've gone down the route of, if I get them in here and my wife likes them, then we'll be able to get them all yes. across the rest of the house. But at the moment, that's where we are. So, you know, I should say, by the way, update on this, she has seen them, she wants them.
That's good.
So there will be more going in at some point. She's a brilliant wife. So we've got them in there, and that is good. But in terms of the next stage of this, which happened the other day, and this is the bit I was really keen to tell you about, the Amazon Echo skill came out. For the IKEA lights. Now, this was something I thought was out when I got them. It wasn't hugely disappointed about it, because I knew it was coming, and it was released just last week. And it means that you can now control the lights via your voice. Now, again, it's one of those things you think, it won't work. It's never going to work. And then you try it, and you're just blown away. Just by saying something simple like, what can we call her this week? Alana. Alana, turn the lights down by 50%. And she says, okay. And that does it. The lights just get dimmed. And you can turn them back up full again. That's fantastic. You can change the scene with your voice. You can even say, make my lights relax. And they relax. The lights turn into that relaxed mode.
Whoa, hang on. How do lights relax?
Well, they do it in their own way. Yeah, I know. It does sound a bit weird telling your lights to relax. feel like I want to relax. But yeah, it's just incredible, and it works really well. Tim, I mean, is this something you and your family would enjoy? I guess they would.
Recently, my wife and I actually have been discussing this for our house. Even though it's not something, obviously, that helps me visually, it does help the rest of the family, and it would be nice to be able to have that convenience factor. Even though I can't see them throughout the house, it would be nice to have that convenience to control the lights with my voice and dim up and dim down and things like that. And so, yeah, I think that we are quite interested in doing this throughout the house, you know, especially for the office, for the living space, you know, living room, to be able to do that. And I think the convenience factor of lights like this and the comfortability of it almost offsets the price in a way. Obviously, you don't want to spend too much. I mean, there's a cutoff where too much is just too much. But for this price, you know, it's not too bad considering everything you're able to do with it, everything you've described. I would definitely be interested in utilizing something like this.
Yeah, I didn't feel the price was prohibitive at all, because you have to buy one gateway at least. You need a gateway that connects to the router. And once you've bought that, and that was the most expensive part, that was £25. The remote control, which is optional, I mean, you can just use the app on the phone, but I think you need, I say that, then I think, I don't know if you need the remote control to set the whole thing up. Either way, it's £15. It's not going to break the bank if you're going down this route anyway. Bulbs range between £7 and £15. I got the GU10 bulbs, you know, the little, I don't know what you call them, spotlight bulbs, I guess. Those were £12 each. Now, there is another one at £7. I don't really understand why one's £7 and 12, because trust me, as a guy who likes a bargain, I wanted to find that out. But no one in the light department at IKEA could tell me. So I went and opted for the £12 ones because I thought they might have just some more options on them. And they did. And Sean's right, there will be some colour bulbs coming. They have announced they are coming out very soon, probably in store first. There are a couple of other things you can buy, though. You can get a motion sensor, which means that, say you walked into your hall, and I love this idea. My wife, I'm terrified about my wife walking up and down stairs. I've just always this horrible thought that she's going to come to. She has fallen down them once, and I think, please, God, don't do it again. So one of the problems is she didn't put the lights on before she went down the stairs. Now, what I would say is having this wireless motion sensor stuck somewhere in the hall, it means when she walks into the hall, the lights just come on. That's just incredible. And it will also know that you're not there, so it'll turn them back off, thus saving electricity and all of that. And just a quick point on the electricity thing. What's wonderful about these is the ones I've got here are 4-watt bulbs. 4-watt, but they give you the same power as the equivalent 60-watt halogen spotlight bulbs. So 60-watt versus 4-watt, I mean, it's a no-brainer, really.
Exactly.
You are going to save money with these. So you'll save money. You could potentially be safer in your own home with these. And, you know, you can increase the safety of your own home because when you're not there, you can leave them on or have them turn off and on as required. So a lot to think about with them. But yeah, I certainly think they're great. I mean, I paid for my room. I've got 5 spotlights in here. Six spotlights I've got. I've got the gateway and the remote, and I was walking out the shop about £112 lighter, and I had the lot. And, you know, that was a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But at the same token, you know, Philips Hue would have cost me something like £300. And Philips Hue, their argument will be, well, of course, you're getting all the colour and all of the you can set them to be disco lights. I have got zero. As a guy with nystagmus who struggles to look at anything with lines on it, I don't want lights dancing around in 800 different colours. Thank you very much.
You're no fun.
I just want to do my...
Well,
nah, I know, I'm so boring.
You say that, Stephen, but I've just checked on Amazon and there's a Philips Hue starter pack with 2 just white bulbs, not colour changing. £50.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's a hub and 2 light bulbs. So obviously I think they've seen, because there's been a lot of talk about these IKEA smart lights. I think Philips had to react in some way, and it looks like they have. So it looks like there's another choice out there.
I have to say as well, you know, we are maybe a little bit ahead of the curve on this one, because, you know, if you notice, a lot of the shops aren't advertising these as much. I mean, we've seen Philips Hue advertising, but I haven't seen IKEA really advertise these smart lights very much. And I think it's often the case that they wait, you know, to see if anything goes wrong before yes. they start pushing it too much. And I can get that. I can understand why companies would be reticent to jump in with it. But I think it's a really interesting product. I don't recommend this for anyone. I think you need to try it for yourself. But I think if you are looking for an option that makes your room brighter, but also have some control over it, because, you know, again, goes back to this argument about whether or not blind people just live by themselves. Well, oftentimes we don't. You know, like Tim, you know, you've got family that want the lights on full all the time and
exactly.
Probably leave them on all the time. And in your case, you don't really give two hoots either way, I guess, but at the same token, you know, having that control and having the knowledge that the lights are on and off, and even just being able to say, turn all the lights on, saves you having to fumble for switches and all that nonsense.
Well, and that being said, too, I am a tech geek at heart, so if I have friends over to watch a movie, how cool is it just to say, you know, Amazon, you know who, turn on movie mode and have it go into a special lighting color mode to watch a movie or something. So, I mean, it's just it's just the coolness geek factor of it, even with nothing else, since I can't see them. But you're absolutely right. Having a family and, you know, my daughter constantly turning lights on and off, having motion sensors would be a lot nicer for that, obviously. My wife, I know, would love to be able to save a little money on the bottom line, having the more efficient lights installed and saving some money on the electric bill. So, yeah, there's a lot of good reasons to get this, whether you can see, whether you can't see, whether you have low vision or not. There's a lot of good, positive reasons to have something like this in the household.
I just love how you say that. It's just cool. And you know, that's the thing. You know, we as blind people, we kind of want to have fun as well, don't we? I mean, we don't just want to, you know, well, yes, I bought these lights because they fulfill the following criteria of my life. Environmentally responsible, good lighting. You know, it's like, yeah, all right. But actually, I just kind of want to have fun and say, hey, turn the lights up. And they go up. It's like, right. Hey. You know, it's like, I always wanted one of those lamps that you could clap and you go, and it would, you know, turn the lamps on. I wanted that.
Yes.
But anyway, never mind. Anyway, that's my talk on lamps and lights and stuff and my latest purchase this week. Let's hear from Claire Potter, who has been in touch with us once again, with more of her Potter's Picks.
Hello, welcome back to Potter's Picks, where today I'm talking about items which you can use to label and identify products independently as a visually impaired person. All of today's items are from the RNIB shop, and you can order through the website or through the RNIB helpline. You can call them on 0303 123 9999, I'll give you the number one more time. 0303 123 9999. That's the number for the helpline, and they're more than happy to help you place an order if you don't feel comfortable going online to do it. Okay, first item for today is called the Bump Dots Mixed Colour and Shape Pack. The code for these is DL102. And the price is £10.07. This is a variety pack of different shapes and sizes of bump-ons. You get 8 sheets altogether, which means you get 8 different shapes. And the colours you get are black, clear and orange. You get 4 different shapes in black, 3 different clear ones and 1 orange. It does also give you the different shapes and dimensions on the description. Online on the website, if you want to read that in your own time, feel free to do so. However, I'm not going to bore you with my voice, or I'll be here forever and I will send you to sleep, so I don't want to do that. But feel free to do that in your own time. If you don't feel comfortable going online, you can just call them on the helpline and they'll be more than happy to answer your questions and describe them if it's something you need, and they can also give you the measurements as well. Okay, next item for today is called Tactimark, again from the RNIB. There are 2 codes for this. The reason for this is because it's available in 2 different colours. The price is the same, £4.79, and it's available in orange or black. The code for the orange is DL40. The code for the black is DL40A. But like I said, whichever one you order is still the same price, £4.79. This is a liquid plastic which sets hard when being applied. It doesn't set hard instantly. You have to wait about, I would say, 4 to 5 hours. It shouldn't take any more than 5 hours to dry, and it can be used on quite a range of items such as washing machine dials, cookers. It can also be used on paper, and people have used it in the past also to draw pictures and outline maps in education. So it's got quite a number of different uses for you to use. It's quite easy to apply as well, because it has a nozzle which helps you to accurately mark, and you simply squeeze the bottle and the liquid will come out onto the place where you want to label. So if you just line it up and squeeze the bottle, the liquid will dispense. So you don't need too much, and it also lasts quite a while. Okay, final item for today is called the Bandit Tactile Bands. The code for these is DL120 and the price is £12.95. These are quite a new product to the RNIB and they are a low-tech reusable labelling system. You get 10 bands altogether, which is actually 5 different shapes, and you get 2 of each. The shapes are also in different colours, so they are quite easy to see. You get some brighter and some darker colours. Unfortunately, I'm not able to tell you the brightness of the colours because I have no useful sight. However, I know that there is quite a range to suit a range of different people, so you might want to consider those for an item to use around your house. They're mainly used in the kitchen or in the bathroom. For example, labelling shampoo and conditioner bottles, if they both come in the same shape and size bottle, they can be quite hard to identify. They can also be used on tins, jars, and a range of other bottles. It does say in the description that if the bottle or tin is too small and the band is too large, you can also wrap it around twice to make it fit. They are a really good value for money. And like I said, they last quite a long time, so I think for £12.95 you really can't go wrong, because there's less of a chance of them being snapped, which is the case, I know, with elastic bands, which is why I would prefer to use these, because they will last me a lot longer, so I will save quite a lot of money in the long run. But like I said, also the fact that you have the different shapes on them, they're very similar to, I would say, a wristband. That's how thick they are. And like I said, they are really, really durable as well. So you might want to consider those around your home. Okay, I hope you find these items useful. I will now give you the website and the details again for the RNIB if you didn't get those the first time. The website is www.rnib.org.uk/shop. And the number is 0303 123 9999. That's the helpline number. I'll give it one more time. 0303 123 9999. Okay, I hope you find these useful, and I'm back again next week where I'm talking about toys and games. Bye for now.
Okay, thanks, Claire. More Potter's Picks for you next week. And if you have a suggestion for Claire, or perhaps you have your own picks you would like to see picked by Potter, wow, that wasn't easy to say, then email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. So, finally, it's here, is the email I keep getting every 5 minutes. Every Facebook message, Twitter ad I see is for this new blooming iPhone X10, whatever it's called this week. I've personally have no interest in this whatsoever. It's too expensive. I don't see the point. I'm visually impaired. I will not have any benefit of the screen. I cannot understand why there are blind people out there, completely blind people, jumping up and down on this phone. Not literally, but jumping up and down to buy it, because I just don't get the desire of this. You know, what can this do? In essence, if you can't see it, what can this do that the iPhone 7, even 6 Plus, even SE, can't?
Well, first of all, if they've spent that kind of money and they're jumping up and down on it, that is definitely a waste of money. So I don't recommend that. But, you know, as I've talked about previously on the show, I was kind of in between and on the ledge with this because I do want the iPhone 10, just like any geek out there. I want the newest, best, fastest phone out there, and I'm interested in it. And the more I researched it, the more interested I got. And then even when I looked at the payment plan, because I am part of the payment plan with my iPhone 7, it'd be the same price, give or take, for me to upgrade to the 8. So I probably would do that no matter what, because that would just make sense. I'm not going to spend anything more or less, so why not? To go to the iPhone 10 would be about $15 more or so. And I figured, well, that's not too bad monthly to go up to the iPhone 10. It's not as bad as I thought. But then as I researched the iPhone 10 even more, most, if not all, of the differences are visual. So it's all about the OLED screen. It's all about true color. It's all about the camera. It's all about the look and the feel and the style visually of the phone. Yes, there are performance differences. The processor is much better. The RAM is much better. All of that, of course, as always, is much better. But it's also much better in the iPhone 8. And so do I want to spend $15 or $20 more a month on the payment plan for a phone that really only is going to give me better visuals on the screen that I can't see, a better camera that I can't see. Yes, I can take pictures and share them, and that benefit will go to others. But still, the visual updates of the iPhone X, as awesome as they are, as spectacular as they are, aren't going to do anything for me. And so I think I'm coming back off the ledge a little bit to say, you know what, maybe I'll wait until next year when all of these features go into just the standard phone, because we know that's how it works. It'll trickle down into the standard, whatever the next phone will be, the iPhone 9 or whatever they'll call it. And so, or 11 or 10 point, whatever, you know, however they're going to name this thing. It will trickle down, and I will be able to get those benefits in another phone with other feature updates that maybe I'll care more about. And so if nothing else, I may do the iPhone 8, but I'm kind of with you, Stephen, not to the extreme that you are, but I am to the point of saying, I just visually, there's nothing here for me, if that makes sense.
Oh, come on. Get back on that ledge and jump. What's the matter with you? Right, you two are crazy. When this was announced at the event, I said, no Touch ID. That is ridiculous. We need Touch ID. Touch ID is fantastic. I didn't think it would work. And I'm still not entirely convinced by Face ID. From all the reviews we've heard so far, it works really well, really fast, not an issue. But I still think there's some security problems that people can just grab your phone out of your hand, point it at you, and it's unlocked. There is definitely a security issue there where I think Touch ID has the edge. But take all that away. Okay, yes, you're absolutely right, both of you, that it's visual. The screen is the highlight of the whole thing. But it's not just that. It's the feel of it. It's the design. And that isn't just a visual thing. That is, you hold this thing in your hand, it's got weight to it. It feels, stainless steel bezel. It's got, there's that tech need, that want for it. It's just design bliss. So I understand there isn't much over any other of the iPhone range, over the 8 especially. Wireless charging, they both got. The speed increase, they both got. But from a design point of view, from a pure tech enthusiast point of view, it's fantastic. The price is ridiculous, but I've got a feeling that's the way we're going to start going, you know. There was a time when we said, well, when the first iPhone came out, $500, who's going to pay that? That's crazy. And now, that's the standard price. And I got a feeling it's going up towards that. Hopefully not, but that could be the way it goes. I agree, but that's up to you. If you can afford that, if you want to pay that much, I'm not going to jump on people for wanting the iPhone X. I think it's just from a tech enthusiast point of view, it just looks really nice.
Okay, all right. But here's the flip side to this. I've been watching this for a long time with Apple. You know, you think about, you go back to the MacBook, for example, right? And one of the things that annoys me about the MacBook is that there's very little option out there now. The MacBook Air looks like it's come to the end of its line. There's question marks over the Mac Mini, although there is a chance it will come back. That low end that we talk about, for the people who aren't wanting to spend an absolute fortune, it's starting to become, Apple are starting to go down the premium route again. This was the case years ago when Apple were really uncool and it would cost an absolute fortune, have to remortgage someone else's house just to buy a Macintosh, including your own remortgaging. And, you know, those days it was pretty uncool and it didn't really work very well, whereas now, of course, they're very popular. But what's happened is that bottom end of the scale, the people who are, you know, buying the iPhone SE are, you know, that's all good and well. And I said this the other week, and yet it was interesting. This week I was seeing on a couple of forums people saying that the iPhone SE, they've upgraded it to 11.1, the latest iOS, and they're noticing battery issues. Performance is okay, but battery issues. Now, the problem is that we're at this point now where, you know, that, as I say, that low end is starting to disappear, and they're not replacing it with anything. So, you know, okay, yeah, it's a £1,000 phone, but you don't have to buy it. That's fine, until it comes to a point where it's the only show in town. And what else do you buy? And I'll be honest, having spent 4 weeks with an Android phone, I'm not wanting to jump over. And I'm also not overly keen. It's not even so much about the price in some respects, although the price annoys me. But I could almost get over that, apart from the fact that the screen, as you say, Tim, it's all about visuals. And for me, I just don't see the value in it. I'm buying something that I'm only getting maybe 50% enjoyment out of, because the other 50% is visual. That's just me, though. But I just don't get it. And I'm not overly keen on where this is going either, because you're right. This is the price. I mean, Tim Cook has said on a number of occasions this week, I mean, he made the comment, and it was kind of a joke, I guess, about it being, you know, the price of a cup of coffee if you finance it every day. But they are very clear that, you know, they see this as a reasonable price for a phone. And where Apple goes, others will follow. So all the other phone manufacturers are thinking, oh, we can £1,000 for the next Samsung, £1,000 for the next Moto G6 or whatever. They're all thinking the same thing now. And, you know, unlike Android, you know, at least Android, there are cheaper options out there. There's no such thing with Apple.
Well, and that all being said, Stephen, I'm still keen on the idea that Apple will release another SE phone. I wouldn't be shocked if in the spring or early summer of next year, we see another version of SE that's got maybe the guts of an iPhone 7 or something like that in it. That wouldn't surprise me if they did that, because I understand what you're saying is they're trying to push to the high end, but I still kind of go back to the idea that there was only this push to the high end because of the anniversary phone that it is. Otherwise, it would have been just an 8 and an 8 Plus, just as usual, and there wouldn't have been any other special phone. And I think they wanted to have something for the 10th anniversary of the phone, and this was it, and this is what they wanted to do. And quite honestly, a lot of the technology in this are things that have been in other phones for a couple of years now. So not Face ID, of course, but a lot of the other things with OLED and wireless charging and things like that. So I think it was just partially them catching up with the rest of the market, adding their own spin on it, needing something special for the 10th anniversary. And then I hope that going back next year, we'll maybe see another SE to give us that low end phone again. They'll go back to a middle and then another higher end or highish end phone. And we'll get back on what we've been on the last several years. I hope. That all being said, I see Sean's points in the tech factor. This is a visual phone. This is a visual upgrade for me. And yeah, it's killing me being on the ledge there. That's why I'm on the ledge, because the geek in me is saying, buy the phone, get the phone, you want the phone. And it's like, but yes, it may only be the small amount per month more, but boy, for the differences that it's going to give me, yes, I want to play with the new voiceover gestures. I want to see what all the new things and bells and whistles are going to do. And I do like the idea of the bezel-less screen and the form factor and the same size as my iPhone 7, but, you know, giving me the screen's availability of a Plus. I like all of that, but I just don't know if I can pull the trigger with it being on the price, knowing that when it comes next year, my payment plan, I can get next year's phone that will probably have trickled down all of this technology into the next form factor anyway.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if we're getting to that stage where fatigue is setting in for some of us. You know, I'm finding that, you know, this constant payout to Apple for new devices, I'm getting a bit fed up with it, to be honest, because there is so much, it's so regular now. I'm not as hopeful as you are, though, about a new iPhone SE. I think there are so many phones in the lineup at the moment that I think they may start cutting back. They may come up with something else, because they did recently upgrade the SE, but it didn't get much of a fanfare. I'd be amazed if it comes back.
Ooh, that's a bold statement, my friend, but I think you may be right. You know what? It's so hard to tell with Apple. They do so many things that you think, what are you doing? Like you said, the amount of devices they've got out now is crazy. And that is the exact reason they brought Steve Jobs back in the first place. Steve Jobs came back to Apple and he cut so much of the devices they were doing because it was just too complicated. It was too confusing. It would make so much sense to have an iPhone and then a base model and then an iPhone Pro. Like, and have that across the line. Same with the iPad, same with the MacBooks, to have something where people know, well, okay, this is the cheapest option, that's the middle of the road, and here's the pro option, and price them accordingly. But we're all over the place. SEs, and I mean, the 5C came out, we're expecting that to be a budget, and the price was ridiculous. The SE is the way to go at the moment. Now, are they going to keep that up? I hope so, but with Apple, it's just impossible to tell.
It is impossible to tell, and that's where it kind of gets worrying, I guess, because, yeah, it's not so much, I mean, yes, okay, I know I'm going on about the price a bit, and the price, it just...
It's important, though.
Well, it is important, yeah, because people are making decisions on what they want to buy, but I think it also gets to a point where, and I speak here as an Apple fanboy / voiceover user, you've kind of invested so much into this, and you think to yourself, right, so I've invested in the apps, I've invested in music or videos or whatever you've bought on iTunes. I've done all that, and now I'm expected to pay a premium to keep this going. I mean, I'm paying for Apple Music and I'm paying for iCloud. And I've signed up to everything, Tim, and you want me to pay another £1,000 so I can stay with you. Because, you know, the problem is that these phones, and this is the most irritating thing of all, is that, you know, no matter how many times they tell us it's not how it happens, let's be honest, if you have an old phone or an older phone and you upgrade to the latest software, you will start to notice performance issues. And it gets to the stage where, in my case with the iPhone 6 Plus that I had to walk away from it because it was just unbearable. And I say that as a voiceover user because, you know, voiceover does obviously use a lot of processing up. It does require a lot of the system processing. And if the system is doing a lot more and the phone can't handle it, then there you are. And, the only other way to do it, I guess, is to go down the refurbished route or buy second hand, if that's what you choose to do. Maybe that's the way around it at the moment. But, you know, I remember thinking, as I said to you all, I was thinking of getting the iPhone SE in place of my iPhone 7 Plus. And I'm glad I didn't go down that route and make that decision because I would have been going backwards where I was already behind. So,
yeah,
it's not a good place to be. But anyway, never mind that. Tim, you've got the news.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. We do have a few bits of news to talk about this week. And coming off the iPhone X's release, Apple has updated the iOS to 11.1. Now, I know this new update has several things in it that you're looking forward to, Stephen, like emojis. I know how much you love your emojis.
What do you take
and,
me for?
And there are also a lot of security updates. There are a lot of security updates in here as well. It seems to be a nice battery fix as well in here. So, Sean, talk to me about what we're seeing in 11.1 and maybe what we're also not seeing yet.
Well, I'll tell you what we're seeing is terrible battery life. Mine is from 20% to 10% is like a matter of seconds.
Oh, really? But see, mine seems to be better.
Well, okay, that's you.
What are you using, Sean?
iPhone 6S running 11.1. Now, since iOS 11, the battery life has been an issue anyway. But I really notice it with this release. But let's start off with the positives. So the messages bug has been fixed. You can now delete messages using your swipe up or swipe down, and you can swipe through the messages and it will read them again.
Hallelujah.
Which is fantastic.
Hallelujah.
People are happy.
Oh, I'm so happy with that. I've managed not to delete emails as well. It's been incredible. Oh.
Yes, well, that's the other one, the rotor fix in the, well, I say a fix, but they've changed the rotor options in the email. So now it does reset. So if you say you go to an email, you swipe up to delete. When you go to the next email, it will reset to just activate. It doesn't stick to delete. I actually preferred it the old way, I must say, but there was a bug in that it was inconsistent. So it now just purely acts as it did before. It resets to the default action. So people will be happy about that. I'm not so. What else is there? I'm running low, Tim.
You know, Sean, honestly, I think that covers a lot of what's in there. Of course, they always have the obligatory security update, so we don't always know what that means, and that's fine because we don't need to know what those mean. Those start to work behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's right. There are some security updates in there. The Wi-Fi crack flaw has been fixed, so you know, that's a bonus. But also, you know, there's been lots of minor bug fixes. The bugs that were irritating rather than game stopper, they've all been fixed. Some performance issues, it is a bit more responsive. But one thing that is still a major issue if you use a Braille display is that the unresponsiveness of inputting Braille is still there. It is laggy. It will miss parts of words out if you type quickly. We've been saying for a long time, you know, if you're on iOS 10, don't upgrade to iOS 11 if you use a Braille display because there is an issue there. And unfortunately, it seems like it's still here in 11.1. Now, I can't confirm this. I haven't spoke to anyone that's got a Braille display that have upgraded yet and can say, yes, it's been fixed or no, it hasn't. But from what I've read, the bug is still there. This is something we'll have to ask Julie. She will definitely know. We will we'll get Julie on the case.
Julie Rodaway will have all the answers and more on this, I'm sure. We'll get Julie on to tell us about it because, you know, I may be learning Braille, but I certainly am not an expert at that stage anytime soon, I imagine. Right, what else have you got, Tim? What else is in the news this week?
Well, next on the list, Stephen, is Humanware finally releasing their newest product, the Victor Reader Trek. Now, this is the device that we've been talking about for several months now, I think since the summer convention season, where they're combining the Victor Reader Stream, their ever-popular Victor Reader Stream device, with the Trekker Breeze. Now, some people may remember, I believe it was early 2016, they discontinued the Trekker Breeze, and that really bothered a lot of people because there is a lot of people that really enjoy utilizing the Trekker Breeze over maybe an iPhone or another device or any other kind of GPS device. It was very popular. And so when it was discontinued, that upset a lot of people, and they've gone ahead and brought that back and combined it with the Victor Reader Stream, adding not just GPS, but FM radio, as well as fixing some of the ways that they do recording. They've changed up the microphone. They've added 3.5 inch, or let me say that again, because that's not right. They've added a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. So a lot of different things that have been crammed into this device. However, it is $700. And I believe it's still on sale if you get it in a certain period of time for $600, but the retail will be $700. So what do you guys think about the new Victor Reader Trek, Stephen?
I think most people probably know my thoughts on it. I mean, I'm all for multiple devices. I think if I do it with some of the things I do. I mentioned before, I use a USB audio player to listen to talking books. You know, I can't use my iPhone as a liquid level indicator, so I have to have one of those. Because, bizarrely, they don't react well to it. They will tell you, though, if the T's reach the top, by not working anymore. But yeah, if you don't want to go through all that hassle and buy another iPhone, then that's fine. So it's just cheaper to spend the $899 on one of those. But you know, basically, I don't know about this one. I think it's a lot of money. Again, I mean, we're talking £800, £700 here.
Yeah, I believe it does translate to about £800 retail. Yes,
that's a lot of money. And you know, I get you're getting a lot with it. I think this comes down to personal choice, and I'll go to Sue Allard's email, who got in touch with us last week, and we've been sort of having a bit of a back and forth on email, and she said, yes, I am really looking forward to getting my hands on the Trek. As a long-time Stream user, I am looking forward to it being really easy to use and comparable to the existing system, because I think it is aesthetically the same device. They've just put more in. I'm really looking forward to being easy to use, and again, I can have spare batteries, and I can keep it in a pocket and just press a button. No swiping. I think that's a really interesting point, and I think, again, this is one of those things. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I mean, people always look to me as if I know the answer to everything. I don't. You know, at the end of the day, it's up to you. Try it. If you like it, buy it. If you don't, don't. But personally, I just don't know if I would need to go down the route for this device, because I feel I might be boxing myself in, when at least with an iPhone, if you don't like one app or you don't like how an app does something, you can, like, sometimes I don't use Apple Maps, I prefer to use Google Maps, or I might choose to use a different kind of sat nav to get myself around. You know, at least there's options, you can change around, whereas with this, you get what you get.
Sean, we have talked about this quite a bit in the past since the announcement of this device. And yes, they are adding a lot of things, like Stephen said. It's basically the same form factor with so many more things crammed in. I think I forgot to mention they've added Bluetooth and things like that as well. But as we've talked about, this could be a form factor thing, this could be a tactile thing, despite the price. I mean, the price, if you were to buy a Trek and a Stream separately, this is still definitely cheaper than buying those two devices back in the day, but it's still expensive. But people want that tactile feel, don't they?
Yeah, well, look, Tim, like you said, we have talked about it a lot. I feel like I'm boring myself with this. But look, I think I'll just say this. Humanware do a fantastic job with the technology. The device is really good. It does what it does really well. Now, on the flip side of that, it isn't for me, because I find I can do the same things with a smartphone or another device, and for the price, I can't justify it. But that is purely a personal reason. The device itself, fantastic. Combining the two, the Trekker Breeze, like you said, people were upset. Users of the original were upset that that disappeared. But combining the two does make sense. A great device, I personally wouldn't find a use for it. But if it works for you, then very good.
So negative. So negative.
Look, I'm trying to avoid emails. I'm not being negative. It's entirely up to you. I just don't think this specific targeted device is for me.
I think the problem is, let's be honest, the problem with all of us is we're not really into specialist tech, are we? I mean, we're the kind of guys that we want to be using the stuff that you can buy off the shelf in any store. And I think that's where, you know, this kind of technology, we almost drift away from it. I don't know if I'm one of these people, I'd probably try a Victor Reader Trek or a Victor Reader Stream and think, why have I never bought this before? It's the best thing ever. I don't know is the honest answer about it. But I know a lot of blind people swear by them. And, you know, but this is the point I think we've tried to make a lot, which is, look, that's, we're not saying don't do that. We're just saying, look, here are the alternatives out there. You know, you don't have to do it. You know, I love the fact that you think this show is an edict from above saying, do this. It's not. We're just here telling you what we think. But please come back and tell us differently. Sue Allard did exactly that, and quite right too. Look, guys, we're short of time, as we always are. So I want to just get to a couple of emails before we go. And this one comes from Billy Burrell, who says, hello, Stephen, Sean, and Tim, and all the gang. Congratulations to you all on reaching the milestone of your 200th episode of Tech Talk. Like so many others, I listen to your show every week, and I look forward to it. Now, to a few points I'd like to make. Firstly, concerning the update iOS 11, I updated my iPhone 6 and have noticed a few problems with it since. The main one being that when I go into a folder or to use an app, I can be busy using that app when for no particular reason I'm suddenly in a completely different app. I've also been using an app when all of a sudden my phone decides it no longer wants me in that folder. Never mind just using the app, I'm ejected from the folder. It's as though the phone is now making the decisions for me. These problems, bugs, whatever, need to be ironed out, or my phone could be following a similar trajectory as Stephen threatened to do with his work phone and exiting it via the nearest window. On to a positive note, and I would like to say that after listening to your comments on the Victor Reader stream, I can understand your point that you can do most, if not all, of the things with your smartphone that the reader can do, but not all of us are so adept at using our phone for all of the functions that they are capable of. What I mean is that I'm still learning to use my iPhone for some things, and I don't feel I've got the confidence to try some others, whereas I feel very comfortable using my Victor Reader and using it for taking notes, retrieving and listening to podcasts. I also use it for reading my audiobooks from the RNIB library, and only yesterday I became an Audible member, and with some help from my wife and the Audible support team to set it up, I now get my Audible books streamed straight to my Victor Reader, which gives me an even greater selection of audiobooks to choose from, which is excellent. Now, of course, there are other functions available, such as internet radio, all of which are discussed in the Victor Review, which I think he says Jackie Brown did, and is available on Tech Talk Features on our podcast. Finally, I would like to say that, like Stephen, I am trying out using an Android phone with TalkBack. I have had an Android phone for some time, but it is one I bought from the RNIB, which has a silicone sleeve, which acts as a keypad, creating a synaptic phone. However, with a double tap on the home button, it converts to the Android interface, and I'm trying to learn how to use it, so I have a greater choice when buying a phone in the future. I've noticed that when I'm entering text, whether it's a text message, email or notes, TalkBack doesn't read the characters or word back to me in the way that VoiceOver does. Can anyone tell me if there's a button or setting I'm missing which would enable words and characters to be read back to me? Now, I think on that point, Billy, what I would say is there is a swipe up and down gesture which will let you change to characters, words, the characters and words, actually, that's it. I said before about this that Android does have less gestures than the iPhone does. But if you swipe up and down, you will be able to switch to characters and be able to left and right arrow back through what it is you've just
Sorry, Stephen, but that's for swiping through by character, by word. I think what Billy's looking for there is when he's typing, he wants it to echo out what he's typing, character, and when he hits space to echo out the word he's just typed. Which I don't know.
That was a default on mine. That was default on mine. It did exactly what it does with VoiceOver.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it is the default behavior. If it's not, you need to check in the accessibility settings and look for anything which says Echo Keyboard or something like that.
And there is a keyboard setting in there, which you can go in. And I haven't gone in there, I must admit, because I haven't needed to. But yeah, that will be where you'll find it. Billy says, I'll bring this email to a close now, as it seems I've been typing since 1983, but I would like to say keep up the good work and put me on the list of supporters for an extra hour of tech talk. Hey, thank you for that, Billy. I think we need it, quite frankly.
We do. Thanks a lot, Billy. That was a really, really nice email. Thank you.
And just a final word from Rebecca Skipper, who got in touch with us this week on email. She says, first of all, congrats on the 200th episode. Quite a milestone, guys. I'm using the iPhone SE and will keep using this phone as long as it's supported. I have upgraded to iOS 11, although I regret that decision because of some of the bugs. It still works performance-wise, though, with no lag. Do you think Apple will refresh the SE and add all of the specs of the iPhone X? She says, I prefer the home button, but an edge-to-edge screen may work well for the 4-inch screen because it can give users more options with limited space. Well, I've got to say, I don't know about you guys, but I think without going back through our conversation again, I don't think the SE's got much of a future, so I doubt it. But I certainly don't think it would, even if it does come back, I don't think they'll ever turn it into an iPhone X.
Well, that being said, I think if they did bring it back, the next iteration of it wouldn't be the iPhone X's specifications. I think it would be more along the lines of an iPhone 7, maybe the iPhone 8, but they wouldn't do the very last phone, I wouldn't think. That wouldn't make sense to me. I would see them maybe putting a SE out in the spring at the latest if they were to do it, and you know, like I said, make it comparable with the iPhone 7, maybe the iPhone 8. But no, I would see the next, if they kept up an SE line, I would see it be the next one. So like a year and a half removed from the 10, if that makes sense.
Well, one other comment just to add from Rebecca. Fortunately, some reviewers note that setting up Face ID is accessible, but I do not want to give up my Touch ID. Can you imagine how awkward it would be if you're carrying on a conversation and have to look away from the person just to unlock your phone to take a quick note? How inconvenient. Thanks again for a great show. And thanks for your email, Rebecca. Really appreciate that. Do you know what? It probably is, but that's, I will say this, that is kind of how the world works nowadays. Everyone's just ignorant. Don't worry about it, Rebecca.
But everyone says that. Oh, everyone's on their phone all the time. Before that, everyone was looking at their newspapers all the time. It's just a thing people do to distract themselves. I've got no...
You get that from an internet meme. Don't even go there, priest.
No, not at all. I've got no problem with people using their phones on the train, on the tram, or whatever. That's just what you do. It just annoys me when people say, oh, look, everyone's got their nose in the phone. Of course they have. We're all bored out of our minds. We need something. So smartphones cover that.
Oh, well.
Anyway, on that note, our time is up here, but thank you again, as always, for getting in touch. I know loads of you have sent in emails and I haven't gotten to them all. We will get to them very soon. We only have an hour. I keep telling you this. We only have the hour. So thanks again for being here, Tim and Sean. Always good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, and also in all the usual podcast places as well. Check us out online. Search for Tech Talk, and we'll catch you again next week.